Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worshipful Brother, George Goddamn Mudrick.
And I'm Worshipful Brother Ken.
We're here tonight. We'll be on episode 232.
Yes,
just
sir.
Answering rando questions.
We got a bunch.
Just people who message into us, and I'm like, ooh, that sounds like a good idea, and then I just whiff it and totally forgot to freaking even...
Yeah, we try to respond, like, in kind, right?
Oh,
like, we'll reply to your messages, but we very infrequently do it on the air.
We respond, but, again, the problem is that, like, I said, oh, that sounds like a great episode. Or, yeah, I'll definitely answer it online, or on when we're live.
And then we don't get around to it.
Whiff it. So that's what we're doing. We're doing general housekeeping today.
Yeah.
We're going to answer some crazy questions, and I have one from Anchor, actually, that came through. And it's a voice. Yeah, listen, if you go on anchor.fm and you go to the Freemasons Podcast, you can leave, like, audio messages, and I'll play them live.
That's cool.
Yeah, this particular one comes from, first off, let's do the housekeeping shit. Let's get that out of the way.
Instagram?
Insta.
All right. Over on Instagram, not a whole hell of a lot of activity since the last time we recorded, because I guess we're doing it more frequently than we're used to, but... we've got Patrick de Blasi, Justin Sparks, and Brian Taylor.
Patrick de Blasi being a Worshipful Brother Pat de Blasi, who now lives out in, I don't know where the hell he lives, East Chuckle-fuck somewhere, way the hell out in the Midwest.
Is he a member of our
He's a member of Morningstar Lodge number 47 and a past master, so.
Welcome, brother.
Nice to see you.
Great to have you with us.
Let's see here. You want to do Insta? Oh, you just
did. I just did.
Insta.
That was it. We had three. Right. It's weird, right?
It's weird. Usually we got like 50,000 of them with the jacked up names. Or it's what whoever the hell the freaking troll is that's running around
keeps
talking
making
about
all those profiles. Yeah.
Yeah. FM podcast chair, Bonnie Hart of the Grease or whatever the hell. So
I mean, they clearly haven't been busy lately, or they have been busy, and that's why they haven't been making fake trolling profiles.
Well, let's toast the Instagram guys. Ken, go.
All right. Brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brother.
Vivat, vivat, vivat. 5-star review from WGHSESHEJAJ. So it's Wugshida. Go with that.
Yeah, that's good enough.
All right. 5-star review. Great guys. Are we, though? You're questionable.
It really depends on who you ask. If you ask our listeners, jury's out. My kids think I'm nice.
Great guys, 5-star review. Always great conversation and different topics when you wouldn't normally think of. I really appreciate the back and forth and debating some topics if someone has a different view. Yeah, me too.
We generally do have different views.
Generally.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But very informative and never pretending to know everything. Nope, I don't know shit.
Fully admit that we don't know a lot. Always seeking the light, though.
They seem like a great group of guys I'd like to share a beer with. Well, we do like our beer.
So yeah. Well, you're drinking a Moscow Mule, which is...
Listen, you leave my Russian counterpart alone.
Nostrovia.
You want to fight me? Here, hold my baby. For anybody who watches The Simpsons.
I don't know.
They definitely helped me make a decision to become a member. I've reached out to a few lodges waiting to hear back from at least one of them. I really appreciate the show and what they do. Don't go anywhere. We will not.
Nope.
We're going to stick around for as long as our Grand Lodge allows us to.
Yeah, that's really the constraint there.
And even then, I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to go pirate. Go rogue.
We'll go rogue. I don't give a shit. I'll raise the black right there.
That's right. It's a pirate's life for me, savvy. I don't care.
I'll raise the black right at the top of that friggin' wall. But anyway, let's toast him, brother. Right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire. Good fire. Fire all. Together, brother. Viva, viva, viva. I don't know. I kind of like the pirate motif.
Yeah, I mean, going rogue. Obviously, we've dressed up like pirates before. We've talked about sailing out to that abandoned island that you're not supposed to go to in pirate
costumes.
Something
cool about the whole... one of the shows I love, actually, on Starz is Black Sails. Love this show.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's all about the pirates and the... Now, granted, it's Hollywooded up, so let me be clear about this.
Well, it's going to be entertaining, yeah.
Pirates were probably disgusting back in the day.
Yeah.
Smelly and gross, and they had brothels. And, of course, in the show, all the chicks are good-looking, and they smell good, and they're pretty and everything. But in real life, they're probably disgusting.
Yeah, it was
a
bad time to be alive.
It's it's a good show to watch, and it's all about the pirate life and everything. And there's just something about, what is it? What was that quote? It was like, sometimes you just have to raise the black and start slitting throats.
Yeah.
Love that quote.
I don't remember what that was from. It's on all these t-shirts, Grunt Life t-shirts.
Grunt Life, yeah, Grunt Style t-shirts and stuff like that. But anyway, I don't know. I just, the whole going rogue thing. I mean, that's kind of like everybody's. Like, you have this yin and yang in your life, right? You want to be the good guy. You want to be the person who, you know, lives the good life. Reputable life.
Demons run when a good man goes to war, right?
The other side of you that's, right? Everybody's got that yin-yang, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like that. Remember, what was that guy's name? Like the Killdozer guy?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it sucks when you're a reasonable man and you're pushed to do unreasonable things. Like, you don't want to be...
Actually, there was a quote that
someone's bad side when a virtuous man goes...
Yeah, there's a
like
quote
that,
or something like that. It's like, yeah, it's like... I can't remember how the quote goes, but it's like... the most dangerous death is when good men are, in a sense, pushed to be unreasonable.
Right.
Like, they just want to be left alone, in a sense. And when you push them to react is when they're the most dangerous.
Yeah. Like at the beginning of Rambo, right? Why are you pushing me, man? Right. Like he just wanted to be left alone. And people kept messing with him.
That
and
fucking
next
dickhead
thing you know,
sheriff had to go. And
yeah, that guy had to be a D-bag.
Big balls Bobby
to
had
a Vietnam vet. Like you know what? You're immediately reviled in my eyes. if you're nasty to
him. Leave the fuck alone.
Vet.
He just wanted to be left alone. Like Daniel Valdez, lunatic. Good afternoon and greetings.
Brothers.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's just like a certain motif about being like the rebel in a sense, you know, which is why, again, if you even take it even to Star Wars, like you had the Empire, which was evil, but the rebels had like a certain, they were the rogue. They were the, I think it kind of even plays into like American, the American Revolution. Like we were the rebels. We were the bad boys. We were the, you know, the ones who were starting shit and basically going against the crown. And there's a certain, you know, allure to being the antithesis. Look at me with the big words.
Yeah, very well done. Yeah. I think it kind of gets romanticized too, right?
Yeah,
like pirates
absolutely.
And stuff culturally. It's I think you're right. There's like a theme there where men or probably, you know, anyone really can kind of like get behind that sense. Like, yeah, you know, if somebody pushed me that hard, I'd probably snap too.
Mm.
And like you always have that in the back of your mind, but there are very few of us who actually get to that point and do it, right? So to like see it explored through cinema or through pop culture is, you know, entertaining in a way.
So what do you say? You want to get some of these voice messages?
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with Joel Cleaver. I'm not 100% sure what he said. This was... Oh, that's from 2020. Let's do January 16th, 2021, David Oro.
Have you checked
Zoko.
Any of these yet?
Nope.
Right. So this is... Yeah, so.
Howdy, brothers. So, been into masonry for a little minute. Turned in my paperwork, trying to become an entered apprentice, been talking to the locals at the lodge. Amazing. All positive energy. I love it. But I read and see so much anti-Masonic propaganda, and it's just like, how do I know what's real? There's so many conspiracy theories and all that kind of all that kind of jazz. And I was just wondering how you would advise an up and coming Mason to siphon through the bullshit, for lack of a better term.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, bullshit is definitely what it is. What I would say is, don't read any of it. Wait until you become a Mason, and then you'll know how to siphon and filter through everything, because you'll know what's real and what's not.
I mean, realistically, once you take your degrees, you're going to be like, that was it?
No.
What the hell was all the hype about? No. Meaning, like, in comparison to the conspiracy theories about how we're freaking burying, I don't know what the hell that one person said. We have children buried underneath the lodge or whatever. But you're going to take the degrees and you're going to be like, really? This is what was so nefarious?
Right.
That's what I mean by it's going to be like, what the hell was that all about? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's going to be like, this really isn't shit. Like, yep. It's not as evil as they make it out to be. And, of course, you're going to get the people. You know, if you haven't been to the 365th degree on Osiris or whatever the fuck Alex Jones
said. I mean, you know, anything that you read from any of the Grand Lodges, right? The Grand Lodge, most of the Grand Lodges out there publish, you know, pretty good kind of sanitized in that we're not sharing any secrets through the Grand Lodge website, but, you know, explanations of what Freemasonry is about, the charitable works. So those sources, I would say, if you're going to read anything before you take your degree, just
go
make sure you're going
to
a
Grand
Lodge
page. Yeah. Yes, that's where you find out the real stuff, the good stuff, the stuff that's open to the public. I don't say open to the public. The stuff that's mainstream and the real stuff.
And probably won't ruin any surprises for
you,
right?
Yeah, if you go to those BS websites that's like, oh, you know, especially anything on YouTube, and actually Jai said this, he said
it. Somebody's blog.
Like, come on, dude. You're also getting information off people who've never taken a single freaking degree and know nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been around the block. I've been around the block. We've done a whole bunch of stuff, even the stuff that's not even that very well known. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to tell you flat out, like, what it is about. So, I mean, and if you ask about it with the Masons and everything, you're gonna get an answer. You're going to get a Jack Farkas answer on some things.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, but, again, like, if there was really something nefarious going on, trust me, the FBI and the government and the DOJ would be all over it.
I know, but we are the DOJ and the FBI and the government, George. Yeah,
Jesus Christ. Yeah, don't get me started on that shit.
So. The other thing is, once you do become a Mason, we also have an album on our, if you join our Facebook community, which is easy enough to do. You just have to agree to the questions. They're simple questions. If you say you're Illuminati, we're not going to let you in. So you already have your answer for that first one. But if you join, there is an album, an image album, that we have. It's publicly available to anybody who's a member of that Facebook community, and it has our suggested reading. So these are all kind of like vetted books that we've read before, that we recommend, that have good information about Freemasonry. But again, you're going to ruin some of the surprise of the degrees if you go and start reading that before you take them. So
this one comes, this is way back. This is from September 8th from a Ryan Every. He was, I believe, talking about apathy in his song lyrics.
Oh, okay.
So let's listen to this.
Is it in the form of rap?
Good morning, guys. My name is Ryan. It's Tuesday, September 8th, almost 7:30 in the morning here in Minnesota.
Goddamn.
I might be starting some degree work here soon. I'm excited about that, to officially begin my Masonic journey. I've been doing some reading, some studies for a few years, and I'm excited. I like to put allegory in some of my song lyrics.
Okay.
I'm just looking for some feedback to find out if that's okay, if what I'm saying seems squared, and maybe... any thoughts you guys might have about that? So if you'd ever be willing to give a listen to some music that has some Masonic references, and I'm not doing it just for any strange vein reason, doing it because the allegory means a lot to me. Well, thanks, guys.
Hey, well,
hey,
I'm sure we'd be glad to do that.
So, Ryan, yeah, Dude, you could send any type of music. I listen to all kinds of music. I love every type of music from Sinatra to Slipknot.
Yep. And more stuff out there with Freemasonry references in it is not going to hurt our feelings.
Apathy
at all.
Is like one of my favorite rappers just because of the Masonic allegory. So, yeah, send whatever you got, man. We'd love to hear it. You can send it to which email
the podcast email. Yeah. Oh my god, I haven't like referenced myself in so long. I can't even remember what it is. I believe it's Ken at the Freemasons Podcast.
There you go.
.com.
I think so.
That's pretty sad. Let me pull it up.
Although you got
it's going through that Russian server. Yeah, it still works though. Oh, it's K Tarwood at the freemasonspodcast.com.
Send it to Kenny. We'll have
or you could do info at the freemasonspodcast.com. I think that goes to all of us, but yeah.
I think we also have a producer. Doesn't Joe have a music producer guy that he deals with?
He has one that he's talked to in the past.
He's a brother, too.
Yeah, I don't think we've interviewed him, so I don't...
I don't think we have either, but we'd have to talk to him.
Yeah.
If you got some good shit.
And like be able to make some moves here.
Yeah.
We're definitely not in the record industry, so no promises.
I love that allegory shit, especially in song lyrics and everything. Apathy, I mean, he did it freaking phenomenal. If you're going to take Masonic allegory and you're going to put it in a song, he did it, I mean, perfect.
Yep,
it was done excellent. I always tried to get him up here. Again, he lives in New London, which is actually half a state away, but I know he also does other things, so we weren't able to actually link up and do something with him. But yeah, Ryan, definitely send what you got. And I know we're this is a year in the making, September 8th, so
he probably already took his degrees by now.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, but yeah, man, if you're, and I'm sorry, like I said, we get so many messages and comments and things and suggestions on a daily basis. So I thoroughly apologize that I missed this from basically 2 years ago.
Oh, it's 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. 2000. And I thoroughly apologize. I hope you're still a listener. I hope you still, you know, tune into Apple or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, man, I don't mean to ignore it. It's not, I generally reach out and I answer almost everybody. Anchor's a little more tough because I don't normally get Anchor messages.
It doesn't notify us necessarily.
It doesn't necessarily notify us, so I don't technically see them. And the other day, I just happened to be scrolling. I'm like, holy shit, I got like a ton of messages and everything.
Yeah. When we upload episodes, I'll have to just keep an eye on that little notification bell when we log into Anchor. Because it won't like reach out and hit you with a notification, but when we log in, we see it. So,
excuse me. So this is the last one that I have off of Anchor. And this one's from Elliot Reynolds, and he says, thanks from Oz.
Hmm. So, Australia.
RE 10 Commandments, paleo acronym?
Okay.
Talking about my Yankee shit.
G'day, George. Anything. Elliot G'day, from the George. Blue Mountains in Australia, mate.
Cool. Well, great. Stop. I got to hear that again.
G'day, George. Elliot from the Blue Mountains in Australia, mate. Hope you're well. Great podcast. Loving it over here. I'm the junior warden in Lodge 992.
Cheers.
Bundelier Lodge, which is in Western Sydney. I'd have a question about the... you mentioned that the Ten Commandments in Paleo-Hebrew was mentioning an acronym of some sort, and I couldn't find the particular podcast that alludes to. So if you could let me know, that'd be great. I'm at Elliot at songcave.net, E-L-I-O-T, at... songcave.net. Mm. Thanks. Speak soon. Bye.
We just blew up his spot and
his email address. So, that's fine.
Sorry about that, Elliot.
You're good. So, Elliot, first off, thank you for the question. Two, you're actually going to make me go back and listen to my own episodes, which I hate doing. Mm.
So the problem is
because I hate the sound of my own friggin' voice.
The problem is like our show notes and our descriptions. If that's not the topic and we just happen to mention it or Joe happened to mention it during an episode, like we'll never find it unless we go back and listen to everything.
Yeah, and there was a lot of Enki episodes. So I'm going to break this down on live here as best as I can. What he's alluding to is I talked about how Enki is actually in the name Enki is spelled out in the Ten Commandments. I do not remember the episode, and I don't remember what I was alluding to. But I do have this interesting thing on here, and this, unfortunately, is from Wikipedia. But It's called the Code of Ur-Nammu. And this is the oldest known law code surviving today. It's from Mesopotamia, written in the Sumerian language from 2100 BC to 2050 BCE.
Yeah,
so way, way, way back before the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
And I will read it to you, and you guys can kind of... again, this is the prologue to the typical Mesopotamian... it's actually not the, the prologue, but... well, I'll read the prologue first, and then we'll go down. And Ken, do you want to bring up the Ten Commandments on your phone, just so we can kind of compare?
I can do that.
And then we'll go through it.
How many commandments are in that manuscript there?
That would be about 32.
Oh, okay. So,
but they're relatively quick. So I'll break this down. And I do know what he's talking about, and it alludes to Enki. Enki.
Right.
Now, mind you, Yahweh is
Y-A-W?
No, it's an acronym. It's actually four letters. But if you compare the I believe it was the Jewish to the Sumerian translation, the numbers coincide with Enki.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
Of Yahweh. I'm not 100% sure on that because, again, I don't remember the friggin' episode. And if I remembered the friggin' episode, I could be more elaborate on it. Mm-hmm. But the prologue, there was actually a prologue to the... let me stop quick. So, they're actually, before the Ten Commandments, you know that there was actually more, right?
There's a Jewish... Moses dropped them by accident?
No, that was...
Temple Mount.
He took my joke from me. Yeah, but fine. In all truth, yes, with the exception of Moses saying, "Behold, I give you these 15. These 10. 10 commandments." That was in History of the World,
yeah.
Part 2.
Yep. Monty Python.
No. Mel Brooks.
Oh, I was thinking of the one that Monty Python did. Yeah, okay. History of the World.
Yeah, History of the World, that was Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks, yes, I know.
All right.
Yeah. I...
Shame.
It was an honest mistake.
Hey, Josh, what's going on? So, but no, in truth, in the truth, there is a... it's prior to the Ten Commandments. It was a Jewish manuscript. And God, the name escapes me. Where there was more than 10. Mm. There was multiple.
Okay.
But we're going to go through the Sumerian ones, and you can kind of decide through. But the prologue here is basically it invokes the name the invokes the deities for Ur-Nammu's kingship, Nana and Utu, and decrees equality in the land. After An and Enlil had turned over the kingship of Ur to Nana, at that time did Ur-Nammu, son born of Ninsum. For his beloved mother bore him... This is all boring. Continue.
Yeah.
King of Ur. So it's kind of talking about basically when the Sumerian gods turned over kingship to...
Humans.
Humans, in a sense. And they gave them surviving laws. And among these surviving laws are, if a man commits murder, then he must be killed.
Ah, so that's commandment number 6.
Correct.
Thou shalt not murder.
If a man commits robbery... He shall be killed.
Ah, that's number 8. Thou shalt not steal.
If a man commits kidnapping, he should be imprisoned and pay 15 shekels of silver. Thou shalt not steal.
Well, I guess, yeah, it's the same one.
If a slave marries a slave and the slave is set free, he does not leave his household. I don't think that's in there.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
No. I guess so. If a slave marries a native free person, he is to hand his firstborn son over to the owner.
Oh. These are like very pragmatic type rules. Like the Ten Commandments are very moral oblique. Right?
You have to understand, though, back in the time, and we'll get back into that more, but let's continue. If a man violates the right of another and deflowers a virgin wife of a young man, he shall kill that male. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
You shall not commit adultery. Yeah.
Yep. If the wife of a man followed another man and he slept with her, they shall slay the woman, but the male shall be set free.
Wow, that's very specific. Yeah, thou shalt not commit
adultery. Yeah. Which is basically you could take all these and smash them into thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yeah.
If a man proceeded by force and read that one. Oh, wait. If a man proceed by force and deflower the virgin female slave of another man, that man must pay 5 shekels of... In other words, if you sleep with somebody else's slave.
Okay.
You pay 5 shekels of silver.
All right.
Now...
Don't have that one in here. Thou shalt not steal?
Now, think about this, though. What happens... Listen, we're calling this down the middle. We don't play religion. We don't play the whole... what's right and wrong. We're simply calling it down the center. Follow what I'm getting at? I'm not saying any of this is okay, whether it's slavery or raping a woman or thing. Right. We're not saying any of this is okay.
Yeah, we're not advocating any of this. It's just
calling it down the middle.
It's written. It's fact.
Jai's
time. Long, long
ago. I'll get to Jai's comment in a minute. So
that's a good one. Yeah.
That is a good one. But we're calling it down the middle. So if you think about it in terms of Islam, if a man proceeded by force and deflowered a virgin male slave of another man, that man must pay 5 shekels. Now think about this. In certain Muslim sects, if a woman is raped, it's the woman's fault.
Okay.
Kind of what they're saying here.
No, what they're saying is you violated somebody else's property, so you have to pay. I think that's kind of like
if you see what they're doing, unfortunately, they're shitting on women, basically saying, you can rape her, but you got to pay 5 shekels of silver. Like,
If
a man divorces his wife, he shall pay her 1 mina of silver. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. So they even had freaking
divorce rules.
They even had alimony back in those days.
I guess so.
If it's a former widow whom he divorces, he shall pay her 1/2 mina of silver. If she was married before she died, before you were with her. If the man had slept with the widow without there having been... Jesus Christ. Like, this is crazy.
Oddly specific.
Without there being having been a marriage contract, he may not pay her silver.
Oh, it's got to be in writing, baby.
Got to be in writing, baby.
It sounds like all of this had precedent, right? Like when McDonald's started putting the caution hot thing on the coffee because that lady like burned herself with it or whatever. Like, you know, all of these things were created because somebody did this stuff and they're like, oh man, we got to put some legislation together about this. Can't be sleeping with slave daughters.
13, if a man is accused of sorcery,
ooh,
he must undergo ordeal by water. If he is proven innocent, his accuser must pay 3 shekels.
Oh,
ordeal by water. Doesn't that sound very medieval? Where it was
like
they
waterboard
the witch in the freaking in
that's
the water.
Kind of the first thing.
And if
I was
she floats,
about, yeah,
she's a witch. She's a witch.
Because what is wood made of? Yeah, I love that.
If a man accused
that's
a wife,
Monty Python.
If a man accused the wife of a man of adultery and the river ordeal proves her innocent, that wait what?
She drowns. So she's innocent.
So,
big misunderstanding.
What does the man jam hold her under or something?
I have no idea what the water ordeal is. We're going to have to dig into this a little bit.
I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Then the man whom have accused her must pay 1/3 of mina of silver. They had some crazy shit back in the day.
Yeah,
if a prospective son-in-law enters the house of his prospective father-in-law, but his father-in-law later gives his daughter to another man, then the father-in-law shall return to the rejected son-in-law twofold the amount of the bridal presents he had brought. Oh, shit. So which means if a dude basically comes in the house and... what are you reading?
I'm reading about what the river ordeal is. You can keep going.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what they're basically saying is if the prospective son-in-law meets the father-in-law, and the father-in-law's like, nah, you're not marrying him, you're marrying somebody else. He has to pay that guy who got rejected twofold the amount of bridal presents.
Yeah, that's...
Damn!
Yeah, that's... That's quite the price.
16, it says, destroyed. So, you ain't gonna get that one.
Okay, so here's the water ordeal, all right? Trial by river ordeal was a widespread phenomenon in which the accused was plunged into the river, where his success in withstanding the rushing waters was supposed to determine his guilt or innocence. So how well of a swimmer you were? Basically, yeah.
Determines whether or not you're innocent?
Yeah, so basically if you drown, you're guilty, I guess.
All right. Let's continue on here. If the let's go to 18. I'm going to skip over a couple because some of these are, it just says text destroyed. If a slave escapes, now let's 18. Excuse me. If a man knocks out the eye of another man, he shall weigh out a half a mina of silver. So if you knock his, if a man cuts off the foot of another man, he's to pay 10 shekels. And this is all
What happened to eye for an eye? You just like got.
I think that's kind of where it comes from.
If you poke him in the eye,
I wonder if that's where it comes from. The whole prospect of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Because if you knock out his eye, you got to pay him 10 shekels.
Yeah, but that's not like compensating somebody in kind for a slight.
Well,
like
you're
giving them
it.
Some shekels. Like. the hell am I going to deal with this? I don't have, like, ophthalmologists.
There we go.
Took my eye out.
If a man appeared as a witness and was shown to be a perjurer, he must pay 15 shekels. So if you basically you can't lie under oath, that's kind of where that comes from. If a man appears as a witness but withdraws his oath, so that's, there you go. That's where you're bearing false witness.
Okay.
If a man appears as a witness but withdraws his oath, he must make payment. So basically what the Ten Commandments is, they took these 32 and kind of smushed them into one.
Yeah, and took out all of like the
and
monetary...
And took all that extra bullshit, right.
So like the penalty for any breaking any of the commandments is implied.
Yeah.
So they don't have to say, hey, man, you owe me $10.
So
you cut my foot off.
Yeah, and the rest are pretty much about... people's land. If a man stealthily cultivates a field in another man and he raises the complaint, this is, however, to be rejected. The man will lose his expenses. So that's kind of like the predecessor of your Ten Commandments. As for what I was specifically addressing, I do remember something along the lines, and I can't remember for the life of me, because again, I read the whole book of Enki. I can't remember everything.
Yeah, that was over like 16 episodes or something.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
It's a lot of knowledge to pull in. But I do remember him saying something along the lines of, and if you can give me a direct reference to when I said it in the episode, that would be even better, because then I can actually break down what I was saying.
But that's nice. And now you're making him do the research.
I mean, I can listen back, but I don't remember exactly what I was. I have like so much knowledge about the freaking Sumerians and all that stuff that sometimes. It just gets overwhelming. Like, some things I can and can't. I can remember and can't remember. And I was there a while there where I was writing things down. Things like, oh, yeah, I remember this. This is what I learned. This is what I've seen. But if in reference to what he's talking about, I do remember something along the lines of Enki being translated over to Yahweh, which is W-H-Y-H or something like that. That's the acronym of it.
Okay.
Jai Everlyn, thou shalt pay their Patreon, or thou shalt be purged.
Or thou shalt be purged. Yep. We had one of those recently.
Yeah, and I apologize to those who got clipped in that accidentally, because, I mean, sometimes...
Oh, accidentally?
Accidentally, because their names don't match from Patreon over to Discord.
Oh.
So I'm thinking I have the right people, and I don't. And they get clipped accidentally, and I brought back a couple, and they've reached out to me like, hey, I can't get onto the Discord, and I'm like, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah, we should have some, I can look into that. We should probably have some kind of unique identifier. It doesn't have to be a name or an email address, but it's like when you're a Patreon, right. You get some kind of ID, and then that ID gets associated with your Discord name,
mm-hmm.
And then that way there we can link them up without giving away anybody's info.
Right.
Yeah, I'll work on that. Spare time, you know.
I just want to be clear about a couple things, and I'm kind of going through now. I'm on Instagram, the messages and stuff that come through, and we have some people who have asked about visiting our lodge and coming to meet us.
Yep.
I need a disclaimer here, and I need to be very, very honest. I am extremely nervous about. When people just come out and say, hey, I want to come visit your lodge.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Like, we are personalities. We are on...
I don't know about that.
We're on a podcast. It is no surprise that people hate Masons.
We broadcast to the world.
We broadcast to the world.
Right.
And we have people that, you know, as much as... I mean, do you see it on Instagram as much? where you get the people
like the
who
random
are just,
question or the random like we want to come.
I'm gonna go with the more of the batshit crazy people.
Oh well, yeah, I get a lot of that.
Too. So as much as we get legit people who are like, hey, we'd love to come see you. We'd love to come to your lodge. We want to check it out. We want to meet you guys and everything. And these are legit people. We also get a lot of freaking wackadoos, if I may. So we are extremely careful about telling what lodge we're from. Well, we talk about what lodge we're from, but actually giving specific directions to where we are and when our meetings are, because there is a risk to us. Would you say, Ken? There's a risk to us of the people that, like, for instance, the people who want to shoot up lodges or shoot masons or legitimately believe that we're devil worshippers and baby killers. Like, there's a little bit of a nervousness on our end, I think, of like, we're right here. Come meet us. Like,
yeah, we got to properly vet. I mean,
there's
an arrangement procedure.
That we're like above meeting people or we're so much better. It's not about that. It's more of just like a safety aspect.
Self-preservation.
So, you know what I mean? So when people ask, oh, where's your lodge? Where's your lodge? Like, if you want to help us out, if you're a Mason and you want to meet us, lead with a dues card. That'll make me feel a hell of a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, that.
Send your dues card and say, yes, I'm an active Mason that you know, would like to visit your lodge and everything. And the best way to actually reach out to us and actually meet us or come to our lodge and come see what we're all about, reach out to our secretary like you would any other Masonic, you know, any. And I get some of it may be ignorance and not understanding the whole process of, but the way it's supposed to work is you reach out to your grand secretary. You tell him, hey, I want to visit this lodge.
That's not how it works here.
How does it work? Explain to me.
So you have to reach out to your, and this is just Connecticut, just our jurisdiction. You have to reach out to your lodge secretary.
Okay.
And then they reach out to the Grand Lodge Secretary of Connecticut.
Okay.
And then he reaches out to, if it's outside the jurisdiction, the Grand Secretary in that other jurisdiction. Then he reaches out to the secretary.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll do like a letter of introduction, you know, nice, you know, very, very formal. Yeah.
So part of it,
letterhead.
So part of it is actually just that. They're doing that formal letterhead. They're making it presentable where you're kind of treated as if like a special guest in a sense.
Yeah. And the other half of it is legit. Everybody knows that the other.
So if you want to meet us and come to our lodge and hang out and meet us on any given lodge night and meet the members of Morningstar Lodge, that's cool. I would just recommend you go through the proper channels because, you know, just saying, hey, we want to come meet you, I would prefer you do it that way. And I'm not saying don't come to our lodge, don't come meet us. Like, we're very open and receptive. And if you're not a Mason and you want to meet us, like, we're not just going to just give up the ghost. Yeah, hey, I live at such and such address. Come hang out. You know,
that's not going to happen.
You know, and it's not us being above and
no, it's just us protecting ourselves and our family,
correct.
Right? Like we would respect if anybody else did the same, right? I think the other thing is if we go to an event, if we're at like a Masonicon or a trade show or something like that, and we announce it on the podcast that we're going to be there, you can come visit us there as well. Nothing wrong with that.
So, Nickrud. Nikrud says, and this was on August 5th, what if Puppet George became junior warden and accidentally served magic brownies at a fellowship cocktail after the lodge?
This is a whole different kind of question.
Well, I mean, realistically speaking, we are always looking for, well, we've been talking about getting back into doing our
After hours, our skits.
Yeah, like we used to do what was it?
Real Brothers of Genius.
Real Brothers of Genius. Yeah. We've done a couple skits with the HR thing and getting in trouble and stuff like that. I kind of like this. We might have to come up with something like that. So keep this in the forefront.
So Puppet George can't be voted into any position in Lodge because he is a puppet.
But honestly, I have to learn the whys and wherefores of our next first degree in September 24th. Would love to have Puppet George to call into the craft for labor and refreshment. So, well, first off, I need to know, A, if you're a Master Mason, because I don't think if you're a EA or a fellow craft would probably be the smartest thing. Two, I would also need to know if your lodge actually knows who the hell we are, because a random puppet calling into a lodge that people have no idea who the hell we are.
Yeah. And also lodges are generally places of respect, and we don't want to do something that's going to either get you or us in
Correcto.
Trouble. And Puppet George obviously is not the the most couth puppet on the planet. Funny idea, in theory, not so much in practice, but I like it.
I'm trying to just go through here to kind of, there's so many.
I know. Some of them aren't questions. Some of them are just, like, really good.
Yeah, I'm kind of going through here to try to weed through these things. Because a lot of these things are just people send us shit that's, like just random photos and stuff. It's like, what the hell are you sending us?
I think Jai was saying stay off YouTube earlier when we were talking about, you know, the research that petitioner wanted to do. Definitely stay off YouTube. I totally agree with that. I mean, try to stay off the internet in general and off of people's blogs and stuff, because you're going to get a lot of cruft through there too. But yeah, YouTube definitely has more garbage than legit information about Freemasonry.
Yeah. And I just want to throw this out there that all these messages and people who are like, oh, hey, I'm from here, hey, I'm from here, and everything, we see all of these. So, and we also get, developers,
developers, like software developers
that are trying to, like, hey,
content developers.
Help,
yeah. Oh yeah, oh, we have
we
a,
don't
an algorithm that can write content for you. It's like, yeah, not this kind of content.
No.
Bro.
So I'm kind of just going through some of the messages that trying
to weed out all of the spam. And
we need to go over. Oh, this is something that somebody had said about Leo Taxil. We need to cover
him. I remember that episode.
Yeah, we need to cover him because I don't think we did.
I think we did.
We did?
The Leo Taxil hoax.
Maybe
I think maybe the. I don't think the entire episode was about it, but we definitely talked about Leo Taxil on a couple of occasions. Interesting. Interesting phenomenon, the Leo Taxil hoax.
Yeah, we get a lot of stuff. I'm also looking. Oh, we don't have any requests, but. That new episode is making me wonder. Oh, this is from Alex Nelson. That new episode is making me wonder how you guys feel about the master not even wearing a hat. My lodge is very much a non-dress-up lodge. I don't think any of us have worn hats regularly sitting in the East, going back at least as long as I've been an MM.
I remember seeing that message as well. That's interesting. So not wearing, even the master not wearing a hat is something that, I mean, I haven't visited a whole heck of a lot of jurisdictions outside of my own, but I've, you know, the few that I've been to, I've never seen that happen. That's interesting. I mean, it's definitely not like one of the foundational like landmarks of Freemasonry. Thou shall wear a hat as master. You know what I mean? But I'm not sure like how. I'm sure it's rules and regs, right? So it's up to your grand jurisdiction, and it's in the rules and regs if you have to wear a hat. Because I know in Connecticut, that's where we get that directive from, right? Like it's in our rules and regs.
Correct.
This is just a duty of the officer. It's probably in the officer's manual. But yeah, I mean, it's not. It's not like in Mackey's or anything like that, I don't think.
I don't think so.
As like a landmark or a directive. So, yeah, I could see that there'd be variability there. If anybody else belongs to a lodge that where you like regularly don't wear a hat as master and it's acceptable, I mean, let us know. Daniel Valdez says, my lodge is casual, but our worshipful master always wears a hat. I've seen that too. I've been to a few rural lodges before where, you know, it's mostly in, like, an agrarian kind of community, so all of the brothers tend to, you know, work on farms or work in, like, the agricultural industry. And they'll come in, yeah, in, like, you know, overalls or whatever they were wearing out in the fields. Obviously, they're not, like, dirty or anything, but they're not, like, going and putting a tux on, you know, immediately when they leave the fields to go out to lodge. But, yeah, they still wear hats, too. So I've seen brothers wearing top hats and overalls in, like, a rural lodge, but... That's just because here in Connecticut, I mean, if you're in the grand jurisdiction of Connecticut, then you have to wear a hat as master. Josh Mantello, Right Worshipful Brother Josh Mantello. It's the privilege of the master to wear a top hat.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I mean, but again, if certain jurisdictions don't have any rules or regs on it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things. Dress code is definitely like a big variable in Freemasonry, right? There are casual lodges. There are lodges that are like in the, under the United Grand Lodge of England. I know there are lodges in Great Britain that have been chartered as like science fiction lodges, mm-hmm. for example, or like movie or like acting screenplay type lodges, right. or something like that, and they wear, you know, whatever the garb is, right? Like Starfleet uniforms.
Well,
or
here's one. This is from Hunter. It says, I just got the episode 56, and I gotta say our lodge and town are on the coast, so a lot of the time you see the ring or the hat, but the guy I met invited me was in a cut with the square and compasses on the back of it. There's going to be your widow sons.
Oh, okay.
And the lodge here that I am waiting to petition at is a casual, but they all have their own polos and such on them with the name of their lodge. Yeah, and I mean, realistically...
Could be the Masonic Motorcycle Club, too. Yes. Like, there's other clubs out there.
In Connecticut, for the most part, everybody wears, for business nights, you wear a suit. And for degree nights, you wear a tuxedo. That's kind of customary for the state of Connecticut. I think most lodges kind of
jacket
that.
And tie for brothers, tuxedo for officers.
But I mean,
degrees.
I guess for most, I can't speak for every jurisdiction or every lodge and everything, but most of them, as long as you look presentable, I guess, right?
Yeah, and
you don't
want to
come in with freaking ripped jeans and
no, I would never do that. But
assless chaps or something like that. Like you want to. So if you wear a polo, okay. You wear shorts, okay.
Yeah, and it's always good if you're going to a lodge you haven't been to before or that you don't go to regularly. Like just ask, right? Like if you're going to be visiting, you're already in communication with the secretary and master. Probably just ask them like what's
well.
Like,
here's my
tolerable,
thing.
You
know? This is my motto: has always been dressed to impress.
Yeah, when in doubt.
If
you happen to have a tuxedo, because not everybody does, but you know, dress the part as long as you're able to do that, and you know, you can always negotiate these types of things. No brother is going to kick you out of lodge because you don't have a tuxedo if you're from outside the jurisdiction. I just can't see that happening. It's just not brotherly. So yeah, you know.
Josh Mantello, he says, what is the casual word people keep using? That's
casual,
meaning
he's very,
no suit and tie, I would say. That's what casual is casual. I mean, semi-formal is going to be a suit and tie. So I would say casual is anything less than a suit and tie. Jai Evern, Daniel Valdez, technically all chaps are assless.
That's true. Yeah,
that's a fair point.
Strict definition of chaps have no ass on them. That's true.
Yeah, I mean...
Josh Mantello, he must have had to, like, move his monocle out of the way to ask that, to make that statement.
Who?
What is this casual word people
Oh,
using?
I know. What is this casual word? Yeah.
They're very proper up there in Massachusetts.
No, can't. so... That's, I don't know. I don't get any more questions that I could see and everything. Well, anyway, I don't have Facebook, so... it's... pretty much it that I got that I've seen for questions, but I thought I really try to answer as many questions as I can. We do them on most of the time. We do them on just answer them as you're firing them in. But for those who anybody I missed who had a question, and I think you and I are pretty good with it.
Yeah, we try our best. If we ever miss you or something, don't think we're trying to ignore you. Just
shout out again. Say, hey,
yeah,
assholes.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally fine if we get that ping and you know, stuff happens. I appreciate the questions that come in on our social media profiles on, you know, occasionally on a response to an image we post on Instagram or on the Facebook community page. Sometimes, you know, if you have a question that you just kind of want to, like, ask the community and it's not private or something like that, you can put it out on there, and there's a lot of well-informed brothers that can answer it for you. If it's something you don't want to make public, that's fine, too. Send us a message, a direct message on any of our social media profiles. And if you want it to not be, you know, used in a broadcast form, you don't want us to talk about it, it's just between you and me, just say that, right? We're brothers. We're okay, like, keeping things on the level. So,
I mean, for the most part, if I'm going to read your question aloud. If you send in a question, you want to, like, my primary, I would say, way of communicating with our audience would be through doing it live. So, yeah. 90% of the time, if you have a question, even if I answer to you directly or Ken answers you directly in that moment, just to give you a quick answer, because we don't want to leave you hanging.
We might say it on the
air. We might say it on the air, too. Yeah. If you don't want your name or anything you're saying put on the line, just say so. Say, yeah, don't go live with this. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just asking your advice. And that's cool. We'll leave it at that. What happened yesterday, Ken?
What happened yesterday?
Yeah, in Discord.
Let's see. Ah, we had our Fantasy Football League draft.
Correct, though.
Yes, and you did not auto-draft.
I did auto-draft.
You did?
I did auto-draft.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because you suck. I was there the
so
whole time.
So did everybody else. Though. Danny Collins did.
Not everybody.
There not were, everybody.
There
but
were people. Who, and you know what? It didn't really take that long. I was kind of amazed. It must be how Brother Jim set up the rules or something, but it was like 39 minutes,
hey,
that whole draft.
While we're on
rounds,
that subject, if you, while we're talking about Discord, if you got accidentally clipped during the Discord purge, let me know. Reach out to us, because it's very difficult. I will say it's very difficult to match up Discord names with actual Patreon names. So some people, I think I clipped accidentally, because I think in, like, again, people got repetitive names. Like, there's like five Davids. There's five, you know, just name a name, like Mike's or whatever the hell. Like, if I accidentally clipped you, just let me know and I'll add you back in. I just want to throw that out there. So
good
go
call.
Ahead.
No, that's pretty much all I had. You can follow us through any of our social media networks. You can become a Patreon for only $3 or more per month. That gives you access to Patreon-exclusive content, the Gold Tone Freemason podcast pin.
I have two of them, actually. One of them got sent back to me from England. So I'm going to say it again. If you are overseas, it's extremely difficult for me to get you a pin. I sent this pin out almost last year, and it came back to me.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can't control the postal
with
service.
Basically, anymore. Well, here's the thing. It actually wrote on the side of it. It says, not a real address, you Yankee bitch.
Does it really?
No,
no.
No, really.
That would be freaking hilarious.
But it went out to England, and it said, not a real address, and it sent it back to me. So there are, I have like three or four pins in my possession, so unfortunately, sending them overseas is extremely difficult. I know Nippy's all over me about it. We've sent him four, and they go out, and they end up in the ether, and we never see him again.
Did we try sending them DHL? I mean, I know that's more expensive, but DHL is like UPS.
Listen, I dropped for a fucking $12 pin. I probably dropped about $30 sending them over there.
Okay, well.
So, I mean, your Patreon is covered.
So anyway, we are not logistics experts, but you also get access to our Discord server, which has several channels with all kinds of different topics being discussed in them, and you get access depending on what appendant body you're a member of or what level of the organization you are, whether you're a fellow craft, an entered apprentice, a master mason. We've got the fantasy football chat in there for anybody who's playing fantasy with us.
Yep. And that had to go private this year because people bitched.
Like the general users could get into
the
FFL the chat.
So now gang, okay. The fantasy football is a tiled chat. You have to actually be part of fantasy football in order to get into it. But I don't know if we have any more slots available. I don't think so, because
we've kicked off, like,
so.
Like we're
but there's other things, and again, if you join Discord and you're a Master Mason, you can send me either your dues card or you can put it in the general Mason jar, which is our main chat area, and you get added to a tile chat that it's not been added, which is more about, you know, more geared toward Lodge.
Like
happen in Lodge.
But
anyway,
not necessarily. We're not going to discuss secrets in there, but correct. You know, we might discuss situations that have happened to us in Lodge or something like that.
How would you handle this?
Things we'd rather keep on the level, right, on the square.
So. Right. That's all I got, Ken. I'm pretty much done.
Yeah,
and I have to pee. So what do you
say? It's hot up here too.
Yep.
You know, even though it's been cooler lately outside, it's very stuffy up here.
What do you say, Ken? Lock it up?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. For the Freemason Podcast, I hope you guys enjoyed this kind of just answering questions and general stuff, and we'll catch you next time. I'm Right Worshipful Brother George, signing off.
And I'm Worshipful Brother Ken, and I'm going to need to go find a hex driver because I just noticed the screw fell out of my chair, and I don't want to end up bloodied on the floor like a compatriot over here. So thank you, brothers and friends, for tuning in. Always a pleasure.
Catch you next time.
Good night.
Have a good night.